Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbera, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to video, we're going to be discussing how to assess risk in multifamily deals. We can go at it from a couple angles. Are you going to be a solo operator going by yourself and joint venturing with partners? Or are you going to go out and syndicate deals and raise capital and become a general partner? There's different risks in both models. Now, when Jake and I started out, we only knew one way. It was invest in ourselves. We're going to partner up. We don't need investors. The problem with that kind of risk, and for me, I was fortunate. Actually, Jake was fortunate because it was life before Jake. I made all the mistakes. I had no process. I didn't know what I was doing. I was winging it. I had the shiny object syndrome. So assess risking in multifamily. The first thing you need to do is assess risk in yourself and what kind of experience you have and what kind of financial blueprint or money blueprint do you have. I was all over the place before I met Jake. So I was the risk, let alone multifamily or any real estate. Once I learned how to invest in multifamily and once I learned how to become an investor, the risk started to diminish. That's really important. Let's look at ourselves first. Let's understand what our goals are in any investment. We need to invest in ourselves before we invest in the investment itself. And that was my mistake. In 2008, when I read T. Harv Eker's book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, my complaining stopped. Responsibility went to a next level. I was not a victim anymore. I soon after signed up with two mentorships on how to invest in multifamily. I got a process. I got a map. And then from there, when I met Jake, I was ready. I was prepared. I knew what I was doing. Now that Jake's not on this podcast, I can say that I taught him everything. But I remember when we started. He was so hungry. He wanted to work so hard. He had so many intangible qualities that made him an amazing partner. We just created this great partnership from the start. And when we bought our first deal, he was boots on the ground. So the risk was really high in the first deal, but we had another partner, my brother. So there's three of us. So let's look at that first risk in and of itself. Are you risky? Do you know what you're doing? Are you educated? Or are you taking massive action and saying, I'm just going to buy this property and I'll learn as I go? I did that. It doesn't work. You are either going to learn in the classroom or you're going to learn on the street. I learned on the street. And when I realized that was really hard and really expensive, I decided to get into a classroom setting. Now, if you want to learn more on how to work with Jake and Gino, just go to jakeandgino.com/apply. If you want to start learning how to invest in multifamily or if you want to start learning how to scale up your portfolio, because we're buy right, finance right, and manage right. We've got tons of students who have hundreds of units looking to scale. So now that we've looked at ourselves, we're the risky part. Are we risky? Let's go now to the operator side. If you're in there and you are going to start raising capital and you're looking at certain deals, don't look at the deals so much as what you want to invest in. Remember, you're the general partner. Are you investing in this market because you like it? Look at the market itself. Look at the business model itself. Then you start looking at the sponsor or the person who's running the deal. Very important. Does that sponsor have credibility? Have they gone through a lot of full cycle deals? Have they been through at least one or two, you know, real estate market cycles? A lot of syndicators have only started syndicating the last 6 or 7 years. They haven't seen the downside. Choose wisely. But that being said, we're seeing syndicators out there who have been in the business for 15, 20 years. They've made mistakes. They haven't followed the process. They've got bridge debt and now bridge debt's coming due. The rate cap's got to be too expensive and they have to give back the keys. So that's not the only caveat of looking at and trying to assess the risk. Looking at the syndicator, the operator is really, really important, but also looking at this syndicator or this operator's other team members. Are they vertically integrated? Which means, are they buying these deals and do they have property management in-house? I mean, we do. That's one of the things that we started from the very beginning and we syndicated our deals. That was one of, I think, the selling propositions that we gave to our investors. We're controlling the entire process. We're not only asset managing this deal, we are property managing this deal in-house. And if the syndication company or the operator is giving it to a third party, there's nothing wrong with that. Just understand that there's risk involved in that as well, because third party, some of them are phenomenal and a lot of them are just okay. Do you want someone okay property managing your deal? I didn't think so. So assess all of their team members, assess their syndication attorney, assess their, you know, asset management, assess their property management, assess all their different tools. And the last thing I would say, as you're assessing all their team members, look at how many projects these operators or syndicators have. They may be jumping from project to project. Now for us, last year we closed three deals. We closed over 300 units. And I remember on our third deal, I mean, the bandwidth is getting stretched. We have CapEx crews in-house. We're not subbing things out, but we can't get ahead over our skis. We can't outgrow our infrastructure. And there's a lot of risk involved in that. And I know it's shiny object. And I know when there is an amazing deal on the table, it may be hard to pass, but don't bite off more than you can chew. And that goes for any of your partners, any other operators out there. If you're seeing that they have three, four, five, six projects going around, check and see if they're hitting their metrics and hitting their numbers. See if they can take this next deal on that you're looking at. Because once again, once the deal goes and it start working, as my, you know, coach, buddy, friend Bill Hand likes to say, you know, the plane's in the air. Takeoffs are optional. Landings are mandatory. You don't have to take that plane off the ground. If you don't like the deal, if you don't like the operator, if you don't like the operator's team, if it doesn't align with what you're trying to accomplish, assess all of that. That's really, really important. And I think the last thing for any operator or for anybody out there, are they following a framework? Are they following a business plan that they've had success with? Now, what do I mean by that? Remember life before Jake? I was all over the place. I had no framework. I was looking at mobile home parks. I was looking at strip malls. I was into duplexes. Not all of that. I was scattered. I had no focus and I had no framework. When we started investing, we created the buy right, finance right, and manage right. That is our business plan for every single deal, and we follow it to the T. If the deal does not fit our buy right criteria, if we can't get some type of longer term fixed rate financing, and we don't like the manage right portion of the deal, if it's not in a good market or in a good area and we can't pull off the manage right, we're not going to buy the deal. So let the operator or your partners explain to you what their process or what their business plan is. Let them go into depth about that. Now, if you want to learn the three-step framework, email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, gino@jakeandgino.com. And I'll send you a free copy, free PDF copy of Wheelbarrow Profits. I'd love for you to start reading that book and understanding the process and the framework. And as you're going through the operator, ask them, what's your buy right criteria? And if they look at you like a deer in headlights, it's probably a good idea to skip that deal. If you're asking them, well, how is this manage right process going to work? Are we renovating these units? Are we going to be, you know, working on operations? What does that look like? And the finance, see what the financing component looks like as well. That's truly important. Now, we're talking about assessing risk. So we've assessed the operator, we've assessed ourselves. The next one is assessing your underwriting criteria. Are you conservative? Are you an optimist? The last couple of years, we've been very optimistic. Rent growth has been going through the roof. You have optimism on the income, but really pessimism on the expenses, when in reality, that's shifted. Now we've seen income slow down, and we've seen insurance, property taxes, labor, repairs and maintenance, all these costs go up. So make sure when you're underwriting a deal to be conservative. I mean, in certain areas, rent growth can still be growing at 4 or 5%. There's a lot of markets that are stagnant right now. So understand that. And also with these exit cap rates, if you're holding a deal for 5, 6, 7 years, make sure the exit cap rate when you sell the deal is a little bit higher than the cap rate going in. I mean, point and a half. I don't really know. Depends upon where your market, depends upon how conservative or optimistic you are. You're always looking at that, making sure about it. The other couple of things that I'd really like to focus on when you're trying to assess risk, underwriting is all about math. When you're buying this deal, it's about debt service coverage ratio. If you can't get at least a 1.25 in a lot of markets, a lot of banks, most banks, that's what they want. And there's two things that you can do. 1.25, you either drop the price or you bring in more money and get a bigger down payment. Those are the only two things, unless you want to go the bridge financing route. Now, if you're experienced and, you know, if you don't think rates are going to increase anymore, Bridge may be an option for you. We use something called loan to cost. We'll go to a credit union or a community bank, get, let's say, an 80% loan to cost. It's got a 5-year term. So it gives us 5 years to reposition this property and to actually fix it up and to flip it and actually, you know, go out there and refinance the deal. Whereas Bridge sometimes gives you 2 and 3, but it's not locked. Those rates go up. Our rate's locked for 5 years. Also, we get interest only on average between 18 or 24 months on these loans. So understanding the DSCR plays huge effect into it. Years ago, we couldn't find deals. That's why everybody was doing bridge financing. There was a lot of risk in that. And that's why Jake and Gino, me and Jake, we only did about an average of 100 units in 2021 and 100 in 2022. We saw the pain that rising interest rates sooner or later was going to happen. It was going to give huge problems on this. And that's where the risk was. The last one, I think there's so many more ways to assess risk, but in real estate, unfortunately, two ways that you go broke. You either run out of time, like people are doing we're talking about the bridge financing, or you run out of capital. One of the huge mistakes that a lot of people, when they're creating budgets and they're underwriting deals, they don't raise enough capital to be able to do the capital improvements. Understand, older assets need a lot of love. They need new roofs sooner or later. They need new HVAC units. They need new flooring. They need new parking lots at some time. This is why we are focusing in this part of the market cycle on assets that are a little bit newer. Now, if we buy a 1970s asset, and listen, we've bought a couple of old assets over the last couple of years, but we've bought them right and we're able to budget in enough CapEx to reposition that property to a brand new property and then refinance the money out. But understanding those two ways, be careful, running out of time or running out of money. Now, ultimately, assessing the risk in a multifamily is like assessing the risk in any business or any investment. You have to assess the risk that you have on yourself. What are you trying to accomplish? Give yourself some time when you're investing. Have that long-term time horizon. It's true that over the long term, multifamily and real estate does go up. And as I like to say, you can always buy real estate, but you can't always sell real estate. So what I want you to do is think for the long term. At Jake and Gino, we like to say real people doing real deals. Thanks for spending part of your day with me. And I will see you on the next how-to.